So this morning, we're going to do a standalone sermon, and it's one that's interesting to preach at this church. So there's a phrase that you have heard often called preaching to the choir. Seems to have originated in the 1800s, maybe over in Britain, but really found its use more common in the United States in the 1900s. And you've heard this phrase before. It's saying a message to the people who least need to hear it because they're already doing it. It's preaching to the choir. It's like, for instance, it's like a memo to Willy Wonka saying, here's 10 reasons you should eat more chocolate. Right? It's like making a website for marathoners saying, hey, don't hesitate to post about your run. It's like if the city of Dallas had a campaign for all the residents called How to Drive More Quickly and Efficiently. It's like if someone made a TikTok reel for teenage boys saying, here are three reasons you should sit around and play video games all the time. They don't need to hear that. They're already doing it. And so I find myself preaching a sermon on generosity to the Preston Road Church of Christ. And it is like preaching to the choir, because you are so generous and you come through so often and you show up in ways that continue to amaze me and so many others here. We are going to spend some time talking about generosity this morning as we look back on the previous year in 2024 and things that God did through our church, and then as we look forward to what we are prayerfully trying to accomplish this next year. I want to take us to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. If you've got your Bibles, you might turn there. The background of this chapter is this. At some period before this letter, Paul and his associates have gone to Thessalonica. They have preached there. They have baptized people. And they have gotten themselves run out of town. And in the intervening days, Paul tries to go back there, but he is prevented by the Spirit. He doesn't go back there, but he sends others back to Thessalonica, namely Timothy. Timothy goes there, he checks on this new church and these new Christians, and he reports back to Paul. And that report back to Paul is what prompts this letter and these words that we'll read. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 9 through 10. Paul says, "Now about your love for one another, we do not need to write you, for you yourselves have been taught by God to love each other. And in fact, you do love all of God's family throughout Macedonia. Yet we urge you, brothers and sisters, to do so more and more." In this passage, Paul says, "I don't need to write anything to you about your love for one another, so let me write something to you about your love for one another." This is what's known as a paralipsis. It is emphasizing something by acting dismissive about it. It's like saying, "We're not going to talk about how late you were out last night, young man," that sort of thing. It's a way to address it without addressing it. And so they are showing love to their brothers and sisters, and Paul urges them to do that more and more. He's not saying, "You're doing a bad job, you need to fix it." He's saying, "You're doing great, keep it up." You might say, "Okay, Josh, he's talking about love there. What does this have to do with generosity? Why are you bringing up this passage?" Well, in the years after this letter, Paul becomes familiar with the church in Corinth, and he writes them a letter 5 years after this about the churches in Macedonia, which includes the Thessalonian church. Here's how he talks about those churches and encourages the Corinthians to do the same. He says in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, beginning in verse 3, talking about the Macedonian churches, the letter we just read, "They," the Thessalonians and others, "gave as much as they were able and even beyond their ability. Entirely on their own, they urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service to the Lord's people, and they exceeded our expectations. But since you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnestness, and in the love we have kindled in you, see that you also excel in the grace of giving. I'm not commanding you. Now listen here. I want to test the sincerity of your what? Of your love by comparing it with the earnestness of others. Paul here is saying that one measure, not the only measure, but one measure you can test someone's love is by their generosity, right? The generosity is a tangible expression of their love for one another. He saw that in the Thessalonian churches, and he's asking the Corinthian churches to do the same. They were generous beyond measure. And if you want to show your love for one another, one way you can do that is by your generosity. This overabundance that we enjoy here is not new at Preston Road. Getting up and talking about generosity to a generous church is something I imagine preachers have done through the years. I know they have been able to do it for at least 75 years. You may remember on our 85th anniversary, we highlighted a small article in the Christian Chronicle, which is a newspaper for Churches of Christ. So about 75 years ago, they ran our 1951 budget. You don't run normal budgets. Some of y'all would love that, but most people, you only run a budget if it's noteworthy. In 1951, our proposed budget was $1,000 a week for a total of $52,000 a year. And some churches read that, and there was one church in Pennsylvania that wrote a little bulletin article about it because I think they were hearing from their members. Can you believe this place? $1,000 a week? And they said this, and the Chronicle reprinted it. They said this in their bulletin. $1,000 a week from the Preston Road Church. Another one of those big churches, you say. 270 members, and they will make budget. Give as you are prospered. 75 years ago, people knew us for our generosity. Now, the amounts have changed drastically, right? It was $52,000 total budget in 1951. Now, I want to take us to last year. $700,000 just on missions and outreach and working with our ministry partners. That's not even the total budget. That's just the amount of money that we are able to spend ministering to people besides ourselves. That's astounding. I'm very thankful for that. We spend $700,000, and that's the conservative estimate. We could look at other parts of the budget and pick out other places we spend money on people besides ourselves to serve and to bless and to teach about Jesus. That's the amount we designate for missions and outreach and work with our ministry partners. I want to tell you a few ways that your generosity has made an impact. You heard Greg talk about the Casas trip that's been going on for many years. That's one way that your generosity makes an impact. Some of you may know we have a ministry called the Backdoor Ministry. That's for people who show up at our building who are in need. We are on one of the bus lines for DART. So sometimes people ride the bus and show up here with certain needs. It doesn't happen constantly, but with enough frequency that we devote money to it. So often we're able to help out with bus passes. We're able to help out with small amounts of food or gift cards so they can go purchase food. There's one individual, I'm just going to call him R, and R has been coming by here for 15 years. And many of our staff, particularly Farlin and Jim, know him pretty well. And he will show up sometimes with needs, and as we help him, he will sometimes do jobs cleaning our columbarium or cleaning the exterior of our building. But when he comes by, sometimes we're able to help him in small ways with some more bus passes, with some food, or meeting some other needs that he has. But some of our longtime ministers have served him in bigger ways. Like he took his driving test in Jim's car. He now has an apartment that he's very proud of because he was unhoused for many years. And because of your generosity, Jim and others were able to go purchase things to help furnish his very first apartment. You did that, and I'm really thankful for your generosity in that way. Jim and Laurie also, in their work with the SMU campus ministry, There are periods of the time each year where they feed about 20 of the SMU football players in their home. Now, when you feed several young men who work out every day, that's a large food budget. It's not cheap. But when they feed them, they're able to share the gospel with them, even working with the local FCA group, sending some of those students to a weekend camp, and one of them was baptized because they were able to go to the FCA weekend camp. Your generosity in helping us partner with SMU and with their FCA chapter was responsible for these results. This past fall, we worked with our friends over at the Dallas West Church and worked with them to purchase turkeys for at least 400 families, and then went over there to serve alongside them as car after car pulled through their parking lot, anticipating a Thanksgiving meal that would be loaded in their vehicle with love and in the name of Jesus Christ as they went to eat a meal with their families. We partner with Christian Works, which provides counseling and other services to families. And John Mark Davidson told us, he's their executive director, he told us a story about last year. There was a young family, kids ages, I think, 4, 3, and 1. And the father in that young family passed away unexpectedly. And there was a mutual connection between that family and Christian Works. And that mutual connection came to John Mark and said, can your organization serve them in their unexpected grief? And so they made that connection, and this devastated mom and her 3 young kids were able to go and receive counseling services. And when they asked about the bill, Christian Works was able to tell them, hey, we have churches like the Preston Road Church and others who help fund our ministry, so we're able to provide this for you at little to no cost. Your generosity provided comfort for a family in the midst of deep, deep grief. Our friend Earl Young and his team received funds so that they can go and conduct donor drives. We had one here last year. These donor drives lead to people's lives being saved. Back in 2019, there was a donor drive on the SMU campus on a cold, rainy night, and very few people showed up. But one young man showed up and got swabbed. And this past year, he was picked as a donor and was able to save a woman's life. I was at the breakfast several months ago where they got to meet for the first time. So your generosity that helps us not just fund, but work alongside Earl Young's team, literally saves lives. These are just a few ways that we serve others with our generosity. You heard about Living Hope for Honduras a few weeks ago. We have other mission points and ministry partners, and we want to highlight those more and more in the coming months. I know many of you serve on boards, you volunteer, you give money and time, not just here, but in other places. Our kingdom impact is just untold. What you just heard from me was such a small part of that. You do important things with your generosity. And as we then approached the year end and looked at the ways you were generous to us this past year, we were able to go back to many of our ministry partners and mission points and provide an additional $130,000 in year-end gifts to them. So all of those ministry partners and others we serve with, you can see many of them here on the screen. We were able to call them and say, we have some fun news for you. Our members have been incredibly generous, and we're able to come back and do some one-time gifts, increase our yearly support for you. At this point, we can come back and help you do things. And if we can, we don't just mail checks. We go visit people and hand them the check and pray for them and thank them for their work. Right? This is not just pass-through giving, where you give us money and we just give checks to other people. You enable partnerships with these important ministries. We don't just send them money, we send them people. We serve alongside them. So when you are generous, you help us forge partnerships with organizations that are doing important work in Dallas, around the nation and around the world. And we're able to serve because we can bring some generosity and some people to the table. And all of a sudden, we have a ministry partner. We have a mission point. Your generosity helps us connect and network with people doing great work and gives us an avenue not just to send checks, but to send people and give our time. And it's not just about money. I get that. We can focus on money so much. It's not just about certain sums of money. It's about people who show up at the Vanderpool's house on a regular basis, who pack boxes to go to brothers and sisters in Christ who are in Ukraine. Yes, they're sending money for gift cards, but they're also collecting sweaters and gloves, 500 sweaters and 300 gloves to be precise. You give your time as well. When you're generous, it helps us be creative with new ministries. And so Cooter Hale and many others this past year had a heart for so many people who were dealing with cancer and thought, what could we do for them? So yes, we're able to provide a new ministry with a small amount of funding. It's really not all that much at this point because they're still developing what their needs would be. But we're finding new ways to serve and encourage. We're driving people to appointments and coordinating meals and writing cards and praying without ceasing for people whose lives are affected by cancer. This generosity, this church's ministry, is not just about collecting checks. All of us have opportunities to serve together as well. We can use financial generosity as a springboard then to be able to be generous with our time. I want to give you three reasons that your more and more generosity is important. And I'm speaking for our leadership, and I'm speaking for me as a minister of a church. When you are generous more and more, we get to focus our time on the important things, on people. We're not having to sit in crisis meetings wondering what we're going to have to cut, what can't happen, who we're going to pick, what ministry we can support versus another. And it's not that we're immune to having to make hard decisions. There have been lean years in the past. There very well may be in the future. It's not as though we can't make hard decisions if we need to. But I'm telling you, it's a breath of fresh air not to have to sit in crisis meetings wondering what we won't be able to do. When you are generous more and more, we can focus on people and not putting out fires. Your more and more generosity helps us keep our eye on the ball and stay focused on what we're called to do, which is to serve people. The second thing, when you are generous more and more, this church can be responsive. When there are disasters that hit different parts of the country, when there are tornadoes that hit Slidell, Louisiana, when there are fires that show up in Canadian Texas, we're able to send money, not just to random organizations, but to people we know. Often it's churches we know, ministers we know, and we say, you take this money and you serve your communities in the name of Jesus, and you tell them your church is showing up to help. We don't need the credit for that. So when you're generous more and more and we have the means to work with, we can quickly respond. We don't have to wait and hope that maybe there might be some funds to send somewhere. We know that you have given those to us to do these kinds of things. And so when you are generous more and more, we can send money like we did last year, almost $30,000. We've even sent more to Malibu, to the church there at the beginning of this year for those fires. When you're generous, we can quickly respond. It gives us that flexibility. The third thing, when you are generous more and more, we can dream big. It is wind in our sails to see your generosity because we know that as we're discerning the next way we might serve our city, that your generosity is there to support that. We already have funds in our future needs category for when these kinds of things emerge that we can be nimble. And it's not just sitting in a meeting and all the ministries being told, well, you know, you can have a very small, you know, increase next year. Don't do anything new. Just keep doing what you're doing and we'll help you pay for cost of living adjustments as ministry expenses go up. No, we are encouraged to be creative and dream big because you are there saying, be courageous and dream big. And so I'm confident that as we've done these listening lunches, as we discern what the needs of Dallas might be, that your generosity will fuel that in ways we can't even imagine. You encourage us to dream big when you are generous more and more. The thing I'm trying to tell you is that margin enables ministry. When there's margin in our finances, we can do ministry clear-eyed, and focused, and excited. Because we're not having to be in crisis mode. We're able to respond quickly. We're able to dream big. That margin, your generosity, more and more enables ministry. So I just want to say thanks to so many of you who generously give to God's work through the Preston Road Church. If you want to see more of what's gone on this past year, you can go to prestonroad.org/year-in-review. We have some fun stats there. Some of them are financial. Some of them have to do with the number of slices of pizza we were able to eat this year in the youth group. You just pick what you want to know. A lot of good has happened, and it's because you've shown up with your generosity. And I want you to know, whether you are right now contributing to the church or not, we are grateful for whatever you bring to the table. It's not about the raw dollar amount on that check. It's about sacrificial giving at whatever level you bring to the table. I guarantee you that some of our top givers do not think they're better than you. They don't show up here and demand to be treated differently. So whatever you bring to the table, we are grateful for. Because your generosity fuels so many things. So I would just say this to you. Challenge us. Make us have a crisis meeting because we don't know what to do with this additional amount. Make us be more creative. Give us the wind behind the sails. You're already doing it, and all I'm saying is, please keep doing that more and more. Don't let up. We want to love God and to love others, and your generosity helps us do it. Much of that goes to ministry outside our walls. But I'll close with one number that's also important to me, and I hope it's important to you. Last year, we had 828 people visit in person. 828 different people. Now, yes, some of that's family coming in from out of town. Some of that might be you today. Some of those are people who are looking for a church home. There's people, not just outside our walls, there's people who show up every week that your generosity helps us serve. If you are one of those 828 people, I want you to join the work here at Preston Road. If you're looking for a church home, I'm telling you, this is a great group of people who show up with generosity to bless others in important ways. So I'll close with this verse for you, and then we'll sing. This is back to Paul's letter to the Corinthians. He says, last year, you were the first not only to give, but have the desire to do so. Now finish the work so that your eager willingness to do it may be matched by your completion of it according to your means. Thank you for your generosity, church. Please continue more and more. Let's stand and sing.